Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast. With Mobile's award-winning garden expert and chief horticultural advisor for Mobile Botanical Gardens, Bill Finch. We'll talk about living and growing on the Gulf Coast. Now, your personal yard and garden consultant, here's Bill Finch.
Hey, look at this. Look at this day. Look at this sun. It's a different kind of experience, isn't it? We've been buried under this thick mist, the thick mist of Mardi Gras, the thick mist of Carnival. You know, we got a lot of things to talk about this morning. We got to talk about what some people are calling Treegate. We're going to have to talk about the situation with the trees in Mobile and what's going to happen to them. We're going to do that as we get on to the show. But, you know, we really have to talk about the roots of Carnival. We really have to talk about the roots of Mardi Gras today, because if you don't understand that, understanding that, let me say, is going to help you to understand something really important about your garden. It's a very Carnival, you know, is an old thing, and it's almost it's almost worldwide, at least in the Western Hemisphere, certainly in Africa, and in Europe, and now in North and South America. Carnival is the occasion of Carnival is something that happens in a lot of places. You don't hear about it where it's interesting, and I like to remind people they don't celebrate Carnival in Boston. And there's reasons for that, very good reasons, because nobody wants to be in the streets right now unless you have to. Unless you have to, absolutely have to, when you're in Boston in winter. Carnival is an event that is for the warm temperate world. It's for the tropics. It is very seasonal. And wherever Carnival or something like it is celebrated, and there are many places that celebrated something like it was celebrated in Ireland and in Spain and in Europe and in Italy and in even in the southern parts of Germany and certainly in Africa, wherever it's a deep-rooted thing, it is about scaring away the ghosts of winter. Because winter was the time when spirits walked the streets. Winter was the time that was haunted. Spirits walked the streets because the nights were longer. Mm-hmm. and it was colder and there were fewer crops, but the spirits walked the streets. And so what you did was you went out with bells, you clanged your bells, you put on masks, scary masks, and you clanked your bells. And you screamed and shouted to scare away those spirits. Because you wanted to scare away the spirits of winter so that spring would come on. Because Carnival and Mardi Gras, I need to remind you over and over, they're our spring festival. It's our spring festival. It's the start of spring. It's when all of this shouting, all of this parading, all of these masks, all of these people acting crazy, it's about scaring away the winter and making sure that spring comes on. Now, you who don't garden, and the world doesn't garden anymore, and the world doesn't have much connection to as much connection to nature as we used to, they've forgotten this part of Mardi Gras. They've forgotten that's where the roots of it were. And so it's easily lost, but you know, if you're a gardener, it's wise to understand your spring has begun. You're out there scaring away the last bit of winter, and you got to start planning for it. You got to start thinking about it. The mist, the mist of Mardi Gras. It was so dense yesterday. You could have believed anything could happen. It's one of those things because you can't see. You can't see the familiar outlines of where the McDonald's is. You don't know where McDonald's is. You don't know where You know, you can't see the street signs. You can't see what's coming at you. It all seems unfamiliar and strange. And you could imagine some kind of weird spirits walking out of the streets. And you can imagine in Mobile. That's why Mardi Gras was so popular. Clanking those bells. Shouting to keep the spirits of the mists away, to let those mists roll away. And there's a reason those mists happen this time of year. It's this cold ague of winter is rolling down the river. And it's and those the first warm breath of the Caribbean is coming back. It's coming out of the winds are coming out of the Caribbean, and they're meeting right there in the bay. And when those two rub together, it makes this thick mist. And that's what's happening this time of year. Right now, today, wind has turned around from the north. The mist disappeared. It's now opening up for the sunshine you're going to need to make your spring garden work. Is it time? Is it time to plant your spring garden? It's Mardi Gras, folks. Of course it is. Of course it is. Is it time to plant your tomatoes? Yes, I think it is. And we're going to have some caveats about that, but I think it's about time to get them in. If your tomatoes are big enough, it's a good time to put them out. Let me warn you, and I've warned you this in the past, but I'm looking at the long-range forecast, and I should warn you more. Anything you want to put out, it's fine. Go ahead and put it out. Most things are going to be absolutely fine. The more you delay, the worse they're going to do for most plants. You know, I would even put out citrus now. I think you're probably just fine to put out citrus if you want to buy your citrus. You could probably put out your bananas now. It's all fine. It's all fine. But one of the things I'm going to remind you is that as spring becomes more unstable, as climate changes, we're going to have to be prepared for, as spring comes earlier, for late frost to drop in from the continent. Because it's more likely that they can drop in a little bit later, after things have warmed up, and it's about the time that we would normally have a cold spell, sometime around March, 1st of March, mid March, we're gonna have a cold spell. it's just gonna happen. You know, I think probably about March 3rd to March 7th, March 8th. Nine, somewhere around in there, between March 3rd and March 9, we're going to see pretty cool weather, pretty chilly temperatures. That's what the long-range forecasts show. It makes sense. It should occur. So what are you going to do about that? I don't know if it's going to freeze. You don't know if it's going to freeze. It may. So what do? Do you wait to put your tomatoes out? Most of us wouldn't. I'm not going to, but here's the thing I'm going to do. When I put my tomatoes out, I'm going to make sure that they're well protected, And we can talk about that. You can call in. You can ask, how do you protect your tomatoes for that just in case it gets that cold. It's pretty simple. There's some simple things you have to do, but be prepared. It's time to put your tomatoes out, folks. It's time to put a lot of things. I think I could wait on the peppers. I think I'd wait on the eggplants. But man, I'd be sowing squash seed right now. I'd definitely sow my melon seeds right now. I hate to say it because I'm not ready to do it, but I think it's time to plant the bean seeds. I think even your bean seeds, certainly the corn would be just fine. All these things are going to be just fine, but we got to think about how to protect them in case it gets one last cold spell. If you want to plant lawns, this is it. I mean, don't delay any longer. Any more delay for planting lawns in spring brings you closer and closer to a lawn disaster. It's better to plant it in fall than in spring. You need to do that right away. Trees, shrubs, fruit trees, it's all fine. Go ahead and do it. But give me a call if you're worried about your tomatoes. Give me a call if you're worried about what to do. We'll talk about it. Hey, it's Mardi Gras out there. Spring has come. And let me remind you that we're going to talk a little bit. Well, we might end up talking a lot about trees in Mobile and about Treegate and about what's What's going to happen to the tree canopy in Mobile? I'm a little worried about it. There are many signs that the protections that we've had in place for many years that protected our trees, sometimes maybe overly protected them. Now we're fixing to lose those protections. We've already lost them in many ways. We're fixing to lose more. Pay attention, folks. We're going to talk about that on the show today.
Welcome back to Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast. Ask Bill Finch your gardening questions now at 343-0106.
Hey, welcome back. It's a Gulf Coast Sunday morning with Plain Gardening. Listen, this tree thing. Let's talk about it. Right now, there's a big fuss going on on Beauregard and Broad. As usual, you know, it's one of those things where you almost don't want to pick sides because, you know, both sides just probably maybe don't have a great argument. But listen, here's the thing. There may be some crazy arguments going on right now. Beauregard and Broad is that main axis that circles downtown. There's a lot of crazy arguments going on because the city has said that it's going to take down a bunch of live oaks, 54, I think, or something, 50-something. 50-something trees. You know, they're not all the prettiest trees. Most of them are not that pretty. Some of them are quite handsome and large. Maybe some, there's some good reasons. But the city's said, gosh, 100 and I'm sorry. I think the 50 number referred to live oaks. I'm told that it's 170 total trees. 170 trees on Beauregard and Broad. That's a tough one. That's really tough to think about. And a lot of people have said, oh, we can't have anything but live oaks. And that city's going to replace some of them. They're going to replace them with smaller trees. If they don't replace them with smaller trees, they'll make a mistake. If you plant them with large trees, you got a big problem. So here's the thing. We may need to take some of these trees down, but we don't have anybody out there. Who's determining whether these trees need to come down or not? You better ask that question, because there's no one out there determining whether or not these trees. It's arbitrary. It's capricious. Maybe not capricious, but certainly arbitrary. The city just gets, so what's going on here? What is going on here? Let me tell you what's going on. I think there are three things that you need to know, and we'll talk about them real quickly, but you need to know this. We're going to say it again. There are three things that are important that are going on. Those of you who only want to see live oaks, by the way, you're making a huge mistake. You're making a huge mistake. Because we love our live oaks, and we're going to kill our live oaks by saying that Mobile can only have live oaks. I've said that once. I've said it again. I'll say it many times. I hope you'll hear me. I hope you'll take that for what it's worth. But listen. What's happening right now on Beauregard and Broad, there are three things you should understand about it. The first one is, the first and most important thing, is that the authority that the Tree Commission had to supervise the removal of trees has been gutted. It's been gutted. And it's been gutted in several ways. It will be further gutted if you don't pay attention. It's been gutted by a law. I barely understand how it happened, but it's happened. And basically it allows the mayor's office to overturn, as I understand it, Any decision by the tree commission. Boom. And that's what's happening. And in many ways, the new regulations that are being developed for the city, the new codes for the city, basically take any supervision away from the city forester, from anybody who knows, has any expertise in trees. It takes the supervision away so that you can make decisions about what happens with trees. And the laws are being written in such a way that you can remove trees for almost any, on any excuse. You better watch out, folks. You better watch out. Now, if you make the argument about what's particularly happening on Beauregard and Broad, you're probably going to make a mistake. There's probably some of those trees probably need to come down, but we need to evaluate which ones. Let me also warn you, that's the first thing I warned you was it's being gutted. The city ordinance is being gutted. Your ability to protect the tree canopy in Mobile is being wrecked. The second thing I want to tell you is that something's going on Beauregard and Broad, or this wouldn't have come up. And what's going on isn't about taking trees down. It's about making Beauregard and Broad, I hope you understood this, a major corridor, as nearly as we can tell. It makes no sense otherwise. You'll have to figure it out. But I would ask very carefully, what is going on Beauregard and Broad if you live there, if you have to cross Beauregard and Broad, if you care about the appearance of the city? It looks like Beauregard and Broad might be becoming an alternate route for trucking. The primary route for trucking, I should say, into Mobile. You should be aware of that. You should be cautious of that. And I'll also say the third thing. Some of the trees that have been, some of the trees that I've seen, I haven't seen the whole plan, but some of the trees that have been suggested for this corridor are probably going to create the same problems that Live Oaks created, because the people who are making these suggestions don't really have a lot of expertise in trees, as it turns out. I'm just letting you know. You ought to know this. You ought to think about it. Jay, let's go to Jay real quickly. Jay, what's up?
I just want to thank you for talking about the trees. It's got me, upset. I think it's like you said, there's other factors, not the trees. The trees have been there for, hundreds of years, or certainly 100 years, and now they're all of a sudden in the news. It's just very concerning. I mean, aren't they getting some type of grant for $17 million to tear the trees down or something?
Yeah, they're getting a grant, and I think the grant is part of creating a trucking corridor for Broadway. It's nearly as I can tell, and there's a trucking corridor for Broad and Beauregard.
They need to just come out and say the truth of it. It disturbs a lot of people. Mobile is known for its lava. People have written books. There's been documentaries on it, and that's just a historical fact. And while I certainly can appreciate many types of other trees, and I think some trees certainly do need to come down, we have to use common sense. And if they're doing it simply for the money, we need to have a discussion and weigh the scales. Is this worth it? What are we going to benefit? I think right now the problem is nobody ever likes to be told what they're going to do and how they're going to do it. There's two very distinct things about Americans. Americans do not like to be told that. Americans are more aggressive than other people when being told that, and will not tolerate it compared to other peoples when being told that. And below that, if subcultures that in the South, they're even more aggressive than Americans about being told that. And when they are outnumbered, outgunned, outclassed, and whatever, they will be more likely to fight than other people. People need to be handled the correct way. Nobody likes to be bullied. And I'm afraid right now what's coming across is that the city and the mayor's office is bullying people.
Well,
and I think that's what most people are upset about.
Because you need to think about, we all need to think about this, Jay. We need to think about it very carefully. It is one of the ways we protect ourselves from being bullied by government is to have is to make sure we understand how the laws of government work. the laws of government and the rules and regulations that govern how the city protects its trees have been changed recently in the past, year or two. Quietly, we're beginning to see the effect of those decisions, and we're also beginning to see new ordinances that are coming on, new rules and regulations that will, that could, if we're not paying attention, could effectively gut our ability to protect the remaining trees that we have. And so one of our protections is that we've had a city forester who's been out there checking trees and maybe overzealously protecting some trees. I keep seeing that happen. But now all power is going to be removed from the city forester. And basically, the recent two issues we've had with Bienville Square and with Beauregard is that no one with anyone who was a certified arborist was never consulted about which trees should come out. And it's a big issue. So I think we can protect ourselves by looking at that ordinance, by talking to the council members and getting them to pay attention to the ordinance and to give some power back to make sure that the tree commission not only has knowledge, which is a big problem. Sometimes a tree commission is not composed of people who have a lot of knowledge about trees, but making sure that they also have the power to go with that knowledge to protect those trees. And that's where we're going to have a lot of problems.
Well, I hear you. Well,
yeah.
Thank you.
Keep a watch out for it, Jay. Greg, Greg's got a problem with a more personal problem with trees. Greg, I'm listening. What's up? Greg, you there?
Yes, I.
All right. Tara, you there? Oh, let's take a break.
Plain gardening for the Gulf Coast. Ask Bill Finch your gardening questions now at 343-0106.
All right. A little comic relief cools us all down, does it not? We've been talking about the trees, and we're going to talk a little bit more about them. I think we're getting some callers here that can help us a little bit. We need to talk a little bit more about this. So now we got help from several people. Looks like we might hear from Mr. Toler, the city forester. I may have said some things that he needed to clarify or needed to disagree with or agree with. We're going to hear from him. Chris Francis is coming up. But Tara has been very patient. Tara, thank you for your patience. What's up this morning?
Well, I'm looking forward to hear the expertise of all three of you, Mr. Toler, Mr. And you. The people you, the guys you just said, right?
Francis, Chris Francis.
I've got non-public questions, which private property that I have to manage. And I have unwanted camphor or wild cherries is what, I was last told by, the power company, underneath areas that I would like to contain at least. They cut them down to the ground,
yep.
But they're sprouting now and enough that I would like to just go ahead and chainsaw them down. I've also got Nandina and in another place, sassafras, which is really overtaking a tiered area. Will a chainsaw work on that?
Yeah. So let's a lot of different questions. Let me go back and first off, your camphor trees and your camphor trees sprout like crazy. They sprout like crazy. So you'll cut them down. You're going to get a ton of sprouts, even on some of the mature things. They always do. And they sprout from around the crown. They don't spread out. They don't sprout from the roots far from the tree. They sprout from the crown. When you cut them off, you can either continue to keep cutting them for 3 or 4 years until all those sprouts are gone, and you're going to have to keep them cut pretty religiously. Or as soon as you cut, you can very carefully apply with a paintbrush or some other means a little bit of Roundup to the top of the stump. That will stay in the trunk. It will keep that trunk from sprouting. It may sprout a little bit, but it'll die back. And you can control the camphor trees that way, because once you cut them, they're going to sprout like crazy. The other tree that you've got that they're calling wild cherries is probably not a is probably cherry laurel, is my best guess. It's a little easier. It'll sprout, but you can almost dig it up. It has almost no root system. They're really easy to, they're much easier to control. But you could do the same thing with a little drop of Roundup. Don't put too much. Just put it right there on the trunk. It's the safest and easiest way to use Roundup, and it's very effective. The sassafras is a little different because the sassafras jumps up from roots all over the place. I love sassafras, and so I don't want to tell you.
But when you got too much, you got too much.
Well, it usually doesn't form a tree. What I would do is is any of the sassafras tree like?
No, these are about, the last time I saw them were about they're probably 3 feet tall by now.
Yeah. So, you know, you're going to have to, Roundup again is the only way to do it. I would take areas, cut them down to the ground, and keep those areas mowed pretty religiously.
No, this is beyond mowing. That's what I'm saying. This is on a tiered, T-I-E-R-E-D.
So you can't.
Area that, is a waterfront that, you know, it's a hill on waterfront.
Yeah.
It's kind of got the best and worst of both worlds.
So there's no miracles where the sassafras is concerned. The one thing I will tell you is that the disease that's killing the red bays may attack the sassafras, and we may not have any sassafras anymore.
Yeah.
So you may not have to worry about that. Though I worry about the fact that you may not have to worry about it, if you see what I'm saying.
Yes, sir, I do. I think I do. Can I ask you my other question?
Yeah.
Berry sprouts, wild berry sprouts that have grown up in a pine straw tree mulch that was dropped onto an old patio area. I got to take it up and move it somewhere else. Will the berries survive in the pine straw mulch, or do I need to put them in bags and put them in the sun?
I don't know what kind of berries. What kind of berries?
I don't know. It's some kind
of
wild
that I don't know either.
something like that.
So, I'd have to say I don't know, Tara. I don't know. There's a chance that they will indeed survive. Some will and some won't. It may be good to compost those. If you simply put it in an area and turn it several times, it will usually – and don't let the I think
– Don't let it get too much of the runners going on, huh?
Probably. I would turn it several times. That'll expose those roots to air, and I don't think you'll have such a problem.
All right. Thank you again, Dr. Bill. I so appreciate it.
All right, Tara. Hey, Chris.
Yes, sir. I heard her call you Dr. Bill. I like that.
Yeah, you laughed. Chris Francis is an arborist, folks. He's a really good one. Yes, Chris Francis, Tree Care. And he is, you know, and Chris, when Chris Chris keeps his ears on, and if I start talking about trees, he says, "Hey, wait a minute."
I like talking about trees, even on my off day.
Yeah, yeah.
People ask me at a party or something, say, "I know you don't want to talk about work while you're not at work." I said, "Oh, we're talking about trees. I like talking about trees."
Yeah, so man. You know, that's what people say. People say the same thing about me about plants. I said, "You must not like talking about plants." I said, "Well, if I didn't talk about plants, I'd scare you to death with everything else I'd talk about." So it's a good thing, you know? It's a good thing. So, listen, and, you know, there's a lot to say, and Peter Toler, we both know of him. We've worked with him a little bit. Peter says he's wanting to come on and talk a little bit about that, maybe provide some clarity. But do you know much about the situation on Beauregard and Broad in particular?
You know, very little. I saw the video of the tree commission meeting, and I know there was a grant. And they're trying to push through some sidewalks and bike paths and some things. And, it's really disappointing to me to see mature trees come down. But I think it's even more disappointing to not see an arborist involved. And so this is like building a skyscraper without an engineer, because we don't need that guy. It's like designing a great architectural structure without an architect. You know, we have professionals in place, and I think those professionals need to be consulted on, for their areas of expertise. I think people take trees for granted. You know that.
Yep.
They don't understand how roots are. They don't understand how they grow. They don't understand the biology of trees. They treat them like statues, and so they bury them, they abuse them, they cut the roots off, they cut the branches off, and trees are very complex structures, and even as a experienced, educated, board certified master arborist, I feel like I've barely scratched the surface. There's so much that we don't know about trees,
right?
But it's really scary, when I see these situations. It's not just Mobile; we see it all over the place. Where they just kind of take it for granted, and whether they're removing trees maybe unnecessarily, or maybe they're cutting in a driveway or a sidewalk or a road or something right next to a tree, and they think, "Well, that tree's going to stay there because we tied a ribbon around it. We said it was going to stay there," and it doesn't. And so some of these trees, if they're building all the way around it, they may cause so much damage to the tree that they could kill it, could have a major health problem, even mortality, or it could fail, right. which would be a major problem, especially if you don't expect it and you've got a target nearby. I just think it's important to involve an arborist that can help steer you in the right direction, make those choices and look at the plan, look at the, maybe look at some alternatives. Say, "Hey, instead of doing this, why don't we raise this area up? Or why don't we divert around here?" Or, there's a lot of trees that we've wound up protecting from construction because we were able to get in on the front end. Unfortunately, your typical call is, "Hey, we've damaged a tree and now we need you to fix it." And there's not a lot of fixing.
Yeah, look, I got multiple interests in this thing. So I'm the guy who complicates things because I ride my bike. You know that.
Yep.
You know
yep.
how crazy yep. I am. Ride my bike lots of places in downtown. It's a great place to ride your bike. And so I want to see some bike paths. And I'll tell you, it's dangerous for pedestrians. It never hit a – Broad Street during Mardi Gras is one of the most dangerous places I've ever been. It's unbelievably dangerous for pedestrians. Because of the barriers and everything else.
Right.
It's great to be able to address that. And in some places, there's going to be some conflicts. I can see. But I like the trees, too. And I like for us to have a good policy for trees. And so we need people who can understand some of these issues and maybe deal with them in a smarter, more subtle way. I don't know all of the politics, but I do think I do think that I do think that the ability of city forester is my suspicion, and I haven't been inside this enough to say absolutely, but it appears that the ability of the city forester and the forestry commission, the Urban Forestry Commission, has been reduced dramatically here. So
yeah, I think that's the way I understand it as well, and you know, and it's I think that's always been an important part of Mobile, and I agree, you know, with what you said earlier. Sometimes it's been too much.
Yep.
You know, there's a tree that needed to come down, and you know, there's a bunch of people fighting, you know, all over the place for it. But now it just seems like we've swung way hard to the other side. You know, and on the one hand, I really kind of commend the mayor for trying to, you know, cut some of the red tape, because Mobile's really hard to do business in. You try to do something, you try to build something. And I see it from all angles, and you know, there's several different government agencies that don't communicate with each other, and think you're good, and then there's another one that creeps up, and you got to get this permit and this design and this thing and this person, and you know, and it's frustrating. It's frustrating as hell. But you know, I think that you know, and I guess nobody wants them to take their baby away, but it's just coming from the professional side of it. I know that there's so many things about trees that you got to have an arborist involved.
You know,
you've got trees, you got to have an arborist.
Chris, let's take a break. Can you you don't have anything else to do on Sunday morning?
Oh, nothing at all. No.
Let's take a break.
To talk about trees.
Let's take a break. We're going to come back here in just a minute. We're talking a little bit more about trees. I know y'all have got a lot of questions we're going to get to. Mr. Smith, we're going to talk about that monkey grass. Rusty, we're going to talk about that rattlesnake weed.
Welcome back to Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast. Ask Bill Finch your gardening questions now at 343-0106.
Hey, welcome back. It's Gulf Coast Sunday morning with Plain Gardening. I knew if we get this conversation started, I'm going to get Chris. We're going to figure out how to get Peter on. We're going to put him on the spot after the hour's up, and we got some other callers who are going to call back in. They want to talk about the oak trees. If you can manage to be on in the next hour, it'd be great too. But Chris Francis and I have been talking a lot about trees this morning because. You know, we don't want to make this about, I don't think either one of us want to make this about Broad and Beauregard, two streets that are going to have a new master plan for trees on there. That's going to require the removal of 170 trees, according to that plan. I don't know whether all those trees need to be removed. I know that some of them probably do. I know that in many cases the trees aren't performing well because nobody's taking care of them and the soils are extremely compacted in those medians, and so the trees can't grow. I know in other cases they planted trees that were too large. They came in with these giant trees, tried to plop them in the ground, and they just sat there for years. They're still sitting there because the root balls are all twisted around. So there are many problems with those trees that need to be addressed. But we don't know whether the city's doing a good job anymore because the city has inadequate resources to maintain the tree canopy that it has now. And it's making things, we worry that it's making things a little bit harder. So Chris is on here with me. We're talking about it. I wanted Rusty from Moss Point called in or sent me a picture. And that is verifiably, certifiably rattlesnake weed, which I love. It's a beautiful plant. It's got great roots. Rusty, you know, I know you like to do fun things. If you can try, if it's begun to form those little white roots, try some. They're absolutely delicious. They're great in salads. You might decide to make this your rattlesnake weed bed that you pull from every spring. We'll talk more about those. You can call me later and we can talk about them. Mr. Smith, you've been waiting. I want to get to your question real quickly. You've got some monkey grass invading St. Augustine?
Yes, sir. That's what it seems to be. A dark green, narrow leaf grass that's spreading, and it seems to be an encroachment from monkey grass, which we use for borders of our flower bed.
Indeed. And as Chris knows, it's why I am so enthusiastic about monkey grass. It will grow where St. Augustine won't. It will grow any place. It makes one of the best lawns that I've ever seen, and I keep saying this. Boy, if you want a foolproof lawn, if you want a lawn that requires almost no maintenance, that never needs spraying, that never dies out, that probably never will need fertilizer, use monkey grass. You can mow it. It's great. You don't even have to mow it very much. It's really great.
So wouldn't you think Mondo grass over the
Chris,
variety?
Chris always wants me to use Mondo grass, and I agree, except that Mondo grass is so expensive. And monkey grass
is
cheap.
I just see that it does better as kind of a lawn in those super shaded areas.
It does. It does. But the Ophiopogon or is it Ophiopogon or Liriope? Liriope is... It does mows real well. In fact, I went out and mowed some yesterday, and it's just become a big, big thing, and it's beautiful. It makes and it does really well. If you mow it in spring, when the new growth is coming on, it gets rid of those brown things. It actually can do very, very well. Chris is right that Mondo actually makes a somewhat better lawn, but it's very, very expensive and hard to find in large quantities, whereas everybody's always got monkey grass, and it really can do well. So
what I like about the Mondo is that there are several different sizes. So
yep.
If you want a 10-inch grass, you know, height, if you want a 4-inch, you want a 2-inch. So you can kind of select the height that you want with that. But also that I don't see it brown out.
It
at
doesn't.
All in the winter versus a lot of times the Liriope will if it gets really cold.
Yeah, it rarely does it get that bad, but it'll come back pretty quickly. And you're right. If I had a lot of money, and if I could find the Mondo grass in the right sizes, which has been somewhat of a problem. Mr. Dodd used to have a lot of it, but it's been harder to find. It's great. It's just that the Liriope, Mr. Smith, the monkey grass that you've got will actually work. It will invade the St. Augustine, and I'm not sure how to stop it from doing that, though it's going to be really tough to stop it from doing that, except to cut it off and dig it out. But then you're probably going to take the St. Augustine with it. Can you live with it encroaching a little bit on the St. Augustine?
I can live with it, but I've always had quite a nice St. Augustine yard, and after for many years, decades.
Yep.
And this is a relatively new development, just the last couple of years.
Right. And
the idea of the I don't recall seeing any. Regular lawns with the kind of dark green grass I'm talking about.
It's pretty common, actually. There are a lot of lawns downtown that have it, and it's just sort of they're sort of accidental lawns, but they've worked for people, and it will have that contrasting color. You know, the only thing you can do is to regularly put a spade down, just take a sharp spade along the edge of your monkey grass. You might make a bigger border between the grass and your lawn. You might have to do that because it is going to spread. There's no question. And slice it off and then pull it out. If you used a herbicide, it would kill your border. So you can't do that.
Well, I was about to say, I don't think that there is anything that would kill the monkey grass without killing the St. Augustine.
That's right.
You could get the other way around all day long. You could kill the St. Augustine out of the monkey grass, but I don't think there's anything that would kill the monkey grass and leave the St. Augustine there. So that's a challenge.
Yeah, that's a tough one, but I think the spade, it's going to take a lot of manual labor to do that. The alternative is to find another border besides the Liriope if you want to make sure that the sheep don't mix with the cows here. Which also would be a big pain. Mr. Smith, have we helped
yes,
you?
Well, I've got the message, and maybe I'll survive long enough to have a full lawn.
Full wrappy lawn. That's right.
I think metal edging would be effective.
Metal edging. That's right. If you were to cut it down, and listen, don't use the plastic stuff. Use good, solid metal edging. Use it. They make them in 4.5 and 6 inch. You might try the 6 inch. If you can get someone to, if you can cut it and then put that metal edging down, that might help you there.
Yep. Right. I got you.
Okay.
Well, thanks very much.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Smith. Hey, Chris, we're about to talk our way out of this hour, and you have talked yourself into another hour, I'm afraid.
Well, I'll just remind me where to send the bill.
Hey, folks, listen, we got a lot to talk about this morning. Peter Toler is going to be coming in. Chris is going to be back. We're going to talk more about trees. We're going to talk more about your garden, too.
I was raised in the country, that's a natural fact. Food on the table from the garden out back. Everyone working to make the land their own.